For Idaho Matters, from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This weekend, Opera in the Park is returning to downtown Boise for an evening of music that you will not soon forget. So joining us now to talk about the upcoming event are Stacy Trentiseau, the General Director of Opera Idaho and co-host of this weekend's event, as well as soprano and Opera Idaho's artistic advisor, Cecilia Violeta Lopez. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
So, Stacy, let me start the conversation with you. So for those folks who may not have had the pleasure of experiencing Opera in the Park before, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So Opera in the Park, and Cecilia, please jump in and fill in where I'm leaving out anything. So Cecilia was a part of the inaugural Opera in the Park that happened about 4 years ago, and it was birthed out of a desire, in the COVID environment to present something to the public, to get music back out there, and to do something free that everyone could attend. And of course, our art form opera is not always the first thing that you think of when you think of going to a outdoor concert these days. But we want to bring it to people where they are, in the spaces that they are, and the spaces that they frequent in our community. And so this event is a space where you can do that. You can come and hear fabulous singers, a full orchestra right on stage. It's free for everyone. And we want to just provide an awesome experience for the community, for our Boise community, and those who join us from beyond. We expect about 2,000 plus visitors throughout the day. And this year we'll have some family-friendly activities and food trucks. We're going to have face painting. Kids can, expect some temporary tattoos and stickers from Opera Idaho. And, we've got some of our arts partners in the community who are also joining us with some events and activities for kids and families. Ballet Idaho, the Boise Philharmonic, Boise Bard Players, and the Boise Chordsmen are going to be there as well. We also have a VIP tent this year that you can go to our website and buy access to that. If you want to have an upgraded experience, we have a wine and beer garden that's open to everyone who's 21 and up. And other than that, we just invite everyone to join us and park themselves in the Julia Davis Park in front of the band shell at sometime before 8:30 is when the concert begins, and just enjoy a really beautiful evening of music. It's going to be a little warm, which we can, talk about that too. We're doing a lot of things to accommodate the heat wave that's happening. We've got ice trucks and water stations and fans and misters and things in place so that people can be as comfortable as they can outside and find a good spot in the shade. That would be my recommendation for Saturday.
Well, there's lots of shady spots where you are in Julia Davis Park, which is really nice. Yes. But with that said, Stacy, why did you decide to kind of change the format this year and add so much more to Opera in the Park?
Well, we wanted to build on a real collaborative spirit in the arts community here. I just came onto this position in January, and that's one of the things that I've been so impressed about is, first of all, how many arts organizations are located in, can I call Boise a small city still?
I think you can.
but at least, one that's kind of removed from, the big city centers that you would typically associate with spectacular arts organizations. Opera Idaho is a very well-respected company in the industry, and that it exists right here in Boise is a huge asset to this community, as well as Boise Philharmonic and the Ballet Idaho and all the other smaller arts organizations. We wanted to just incorporate that knowledge because art's for everyone, and it's not just about what we're doing individually as Opera Idaho. As you know, in the nonprofit sector, really maybe even all sectors of business right now, but particularly the arts, it's very difficult right now because of the economy and cutbacks, and we're all still recovering a bit from COVID and adjusting to the new normal. And we can't do it by ourselves. And so really leaning on our partners and promoting across the arts is very important. So that was a big reason why we decided to open it up and invite them to come and share what they're doing, particularly with their education efforts. Every one of us have an education program that we're providing the community, and we wanted to just share that with families and kids that are going to be there so they can get involved. If singing's not your thing, maybe dancing is. And if dancing's not your thing, maybe you like to be on stage and, you know, be a ham on stage and be speaking some Shakespeare one day, you know. So we want to just provide opportunities for everyone to experience the arts that are here in Boise.
And Cecilia, let me bring you into the conversation. You've performed, I mean, on huge stages, and, you know, you've also performed the band shell at Julia Davis Park. What is it about performing an opera in the park that is different for you?
It's for me. Well, and then having this be the fourth year now that we do it, I wanted to go back and kind of piggyback off what Stacey said. Opera in the Park, it's not an original idea. We took it from Madison Opera and our friends out there in Wisconsin, and our former general director saw me because I was a soloist for Madison Opera's Opera in the Park. And then after the concert, he was like, well, let's bring this to Boise one day. And I'm like, okay, fine, let's go for it. And just to see how it started from, an idea in Wisconsin, to then see all the Opera Idaho supporters and have that idea come to fruition, and seeing everyone just come together and the community, really, it's been really just inspiring to see what it now is, what Opera in the Park is. And it's an opportunity for the community to really come together and just, because I think the first year was maybe like a little under 1500. Mm-hmm. Then the second year I was hosting with Mr. Junkard, and we were surprised to see like over 2000. And it's just really to be up there and not singing and talking to people and seeing all these people that are just there listening. It's really something I can't even put words to it, because it's just to have been a part of the process from the beginning and to see it grow into what it is now. It's like a lanky teenager now, and it's growing more, you know. And it's really just an amazing opportunity, because Idaho is it's a beautiful gem state, and it's filled with a lot of people that comes from a lot of different of socioeconomic backgrounds, the different ethnicities, and it's really quite a momentous opportunity to see everyone just come together to support the arts.
Do you find too, Cecilia, that when you do something like Opera in the Park, where it's open and available, I mean, it's literally in a park, it's free, that, you know, maybe there are people that almost literally stumble upon this event that have maybe never heard opera, or think that, you know, it's just, it's, you know, maybe too highfalutin for them, right? Or it's intimidating for them. What's that like when you get that moment of someone kind of almost having an aha moment of opera really is something that everyone can enjoy?
Yes, I love those accidental moments of like people that, because you will find that, Stacey, the people just walking down the river, that trail, and then just stumbling upon Opera in the Park, and they stop and listen. And they figure out what's happening. And it's really, it's for me, as like the educator side of me, kind of, it's very gratifying to see people's faces just light up and just to have that appreciation that's born in that moment of the art form and the music and the storytelling. And it's, I don't know, I really love it. And anytime that I get to introduce anyone to opera, because I mean, I share the same background, the same similar story. I was never exposed to opera as a kid.
Yeah.
In fact, I am in Rupert, Idaho now, working in the field and the restaurant with my mom. And we don't listen to opera here in the restaurant. We listen to Mexican ranchera music. And just to be able to tell people, like, no, I'm an opera singer. They look at me like I'm from a different planet. But then when they see me in action, or they hear the music, or I take the time to explain what it is, they like you said, it is an aha moment, and they have an understanding really of what it is that we're doing up on those stages.
Yeah. And Cecilia, what songs can people kind of expect to hear this weekend, and who's going to be there alongside you on the stage?
It's an incredible program. that we've all kind of pitched in and like formed for the audiences. A lot of memorable tunes. They'll hear the Libiamo from Traviata. That one is very, very well known. Some Spanish pieces by our baritone, Octavio Moreno, who'll be making his opera Idaho debut. And our mezzo and tenor are actually husband and wife. They're Jamie and Olga Flora. And they come to us from Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I now reside. And they'll be there singing with us. They've got some beautiful music. There are some musical theater tunes. Olga and I will be singing For Good from Wicked. And I'm really excited for that piece because it's I don't sing musical theater a lot. And so when I'm given the opportunity, it's almost intimidating for me. It's like, oh,
really?
No, I don't want this song. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Well, I have to. Oh, go ahead, Stacey.
We've got to say that this year, our children's chorus, we have a children's chorus program that teach kids from kindergarten all the way up through high school. And they're joining us this year on the stage and we'll be singing as well as our opera chorus, which is made up of all local singers here. We're really blessed to have such a great local community of singers right here in Boise. And they participate with us in the opera chorus, compromario roles, some solo work around town. They're called the Resident Company of Upper Idaho. So they and the children's chorus will be on stage with Cecilia and the other artists as well this year.
And before I let you two go, Cecilia, I would love to know why it is important to you to be able to really share this art form with everyone. I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, you were born and raised, you know, in Rupert, Idaho, not exposed to opera. And here you are having performed on, I mean, truly stages all over the world. And we're lucky enough to, you know, to call you our own.
Oi, that is, I'm a huge crier, Hannah. So I'm sorry, Gemma. I see Hannah's name on my screen, but
no, Gemma. I got it.
But it's important to me because everywhere I go, every opera company that I work at, they have the same problem of just wanting to fill the theaters with bodies. And for Opera Idaho, it's just the same. We're not an exception. I would love to fill every theater for every performance. And I feel that our part, or my part personally, is to be out there and to show people what it is that we do so that we can make opera less scary or less intimidating, to just continue with that message of the opera is for everyone. And but again, like I said earlier, I use myself as an example because I was never exposed to opera, and just to be singing this repertoire that's existed for years and to be able to share that with, I was literally in the car the other day with my mother driving, and I was reviewing the words to another one of the pieces that will be performing for Opera in the Park, and I looked over at my mom and I said, Ma, this is what's happening in the story. And there's this Sor Angelica. This is what happened. Her mean aunt came in and she gave her some bad news. And at the end, she's just really sad. And I start to cry. I start to cry in the car. And I wasn't even singing it, but that's exactly what my mom said. She goes, Cecilia, like, you're not even singing it. Ya estás llorando and you're already crying. But that's just, this is why the music is so magical. It's just so touching because these are stories that are so real. And so there's a lot of human emotions just attached to every one of those stories. It doesn't matter how high the soprano sings or if the tenor cracks or whatever. The story just needs to be told with like the utmost sincerity to be able to reach the audiences. And I feel for Opera in the Park, there's just a little bit of everything, of like a lot of operas, to be able to show that to audiences. And so that's why this, for me, Opera in the Park is just not just an opportunity to perform, but an opportunity to continue to show people, to educate what it is that we do. And we want to invite them, everyone, to come to the theaters, not just Opera Idaho, but like the ballet and the Phil and all the other arts organizations in Boise that need the community support.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.